Once more again, good evening.
Good evening.
Good to be here. I hope you guys had a good time in the week. We've got some little bit of sunshine here. I'm happy to be saying a few words concerning the Word of God. So let us just bow our heads just for a short word of prayer. Father, again, we just like to invite your presence with us, Lord, as we look to you this evening, dear Father, to hear a word from you. We ask that you guide our thoughts and that you'll also be with us, dear Father, as we go through this short message. Let your spirit be with us, we pray. In Jesus' word and name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. I've got a short topic, and it's actually taken from the alphabet. It's a letter P in the alphabet, and there are three P's that I'm dealing with. And as we look at them, I'll ask you to actually tell me what you think these P's are. But just before we continue, I just want us to turn our Bibles to our scripture reading and look at Psalms 121. So there are 8 verses, and we will read one verse apiece. I'm asking you to get your Bibles if you have it with you. I'm going to be reading one verse apiece. And then I'll read the rest, what's left. So I'll ask.
Can you read it? Repeat it for me, Elder.
It is Psalms 121.
Thank you.
We're reading all of it, the eight verses.
Yeah.
So when you've all got it, just as usual, say amen, or just let me know that everybody's okay.
Amen.
I can't see your beautiful faces. What's happening?
Sorry, Brother D, I'm on the road. I'm with my.
Thank you, Dora. Thank you, Sanjay. That's better. Oh, wonderful. Blessings to you. Blessings to you guys. Okay. I understand.
I'll soon come back on, Elder.
Okay, my sister.
I can read first, though.
Okay, yes. Okay, so okay, that's good. So if you can start, and then the next person can just
I'll read second.
Okay. Psalms 121.
Verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help.
My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth.
You will never let your foot slip, nor will your garden become drowsy. Look. Yeah, that's it. The next text.
Verse 4.
Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep.
Amen.
Verse 5.
The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand.
And verse 6. Verse 6.
The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night.
Okay. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul.
Okay. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so this evening's talk is going to be about three P's. Now, in St. Vincent de Grenadines, where I was born, a beautiful country, as growing up as a child, the three P's in St. Vincent that they have, they call it People's Political Party. Okay.
Wow.
So that's what they call it, but I'm looking at a different situation here. Now, these three P's are totally connected. They're interwoven, they're international, they're independent, but at the same time, inseparable. Matter of fact, if you swap them around, it still becomes a P.
Yes.
Yeah? But they have the same goal. All right, so I'll give you a background of those. So can anyone guess what might be my first P?
Prayer.
Wow. Whoa. Praise the Lord for that. Prayer. That's a good one. And that is it. Prayer. And another one?
Patience. Practice.
Can't hear you.
Practice.
It's not practice, but yeah, that will be in that, in there as well.
Praise.
Praise. Prayer and praise is correct. And the last one might be a little bit of a stumbling block, but I'll give someone another chance to get it. Okay, Sanjay, I'm going to give you 9.5 out of 10 because you got almost all of it. You know, there's a lecturer I used to lecture us, and he says one day, did such a lovely work in engineering, and he says, this is fantastic. This is fantastic, Mr. Correa. So my head was swelling, and I think this is amazing. And then he said, I'm going to give you 9.5 out of 10. I said, 9.5? He said, don't ever give anybody full marks because they would not improve.
Very true.
So
very true.
That's where we are. So prayer, prayers, and prepare. Now, example, prayer, you pray to prepare.
Yeah.
You pray to prepare. And you prepare to praise. The interwoven, you prepare to praise. And you praise because you have been prepared. So pray to prepare, you prepare to praise, and you praise because you have been prepared. These three are, they're not conflict with one another. They are in fact a team. They're a team. And guess what? They need each other. They need each other because they are going for the same goal.
Yes.
They are together. They're a team. Three P's. Now, I'm going to ask you to keep your Bibles open, because what I want you to do, I want you to actually read a prayer for me and tell me what it means. Okay. Now, it doesn't have to have the letter P.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to have the meaning of prayer to it. And you can just share with me what it is. But so I'm going to start the ball rolling. So, for example, in Psalm 4, verse 1, it says, hear my prayer when I call, O Lord, O God, my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. So David is requesting and pleading with God because he's in distress. He's in distress. And guess what? God has enlarged him. God has relieved him. God has given him hope. And you'll find that this is the communication that David had with God. But there's something special about prayer. It's a two-way street. When we pray, we should also be listening. We must be listening. We must be listening for direction. Okay, so who has actually found the first verse or chapter or on prayer? If you have, could you please just read it for us and tell us what you understand by that verse? Are we good?
Psalm 6.
Okay.
Everybody got it?
Yes, Psalm 6.
Oh, Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. not just me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled.
Amen. So what is that saying to you or to us? Anybody?
Me.
Okay, Cecilia, but you're going to tell us.
No, to me, I am not strong, and I'm asking the Lord not to rebuke me in his anger, because I know I have done horrible things that I need being rebuked, but he should not rebuke me, he should have mercy on me.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much. I'm now going to move on to the second P, which is praise. And again, I'm going to ask someone to read a psalm or a text about praise and then tell us what it means. So praise means to express thanks to or respect to God. Now, when I looked at that and I saw that in the dictionary, my eyes lit up, because sometimes when you're looking for explanation about praise or praise and the word of God mentioning, you can't find it. But I found it in the Bible. In the dictionary, and I was quite excited about that. They actually had, the nerve, because sometimes they try and put their meaning to it. They actually put God in the dictionary, and I'm excited about that. So praise means showing respect to God. And there's another meaning, says that it's an approval, it's an admiration to someone or something. And then it's also a compliment. So praise is also a compliment. Now for me, now I like singing, but my voice is getting a little bit rusty these days because I'm getting a little bit older. Mm-hmm. I'm not as young and beautiful. I'm not as young as this lady who is in her 50s constantly. So if I sing to my heart's content and express my feelings and gratitude to God in the most meaningful way, I'm praising God.
Yes.
I'm praising God. And that's amazing, because the scripture says we must praise. And so my psalm for that is Psalms 81. It says in verse 1, it says, I will sing of the mercy of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known his faithfulness to all, to some. All generations. And I said, praise his name for that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that. And so,
what verse was that?
Sorry?
Verse 1.
What verse was that?
Verse 1. Psalms 89, verse 1.
All right.
Has anybody got a text on praise?
Yes, 89 is very similar. I will sing the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known the faithfulness to all generations.
Okay.
All right. Same principle.
Thank you.
For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heaven.
Thank you.
We're talking about mercy, the Lord's mercy unto all, for all of us, really.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome, Jennifer. Welcome. What's that? Sister Khan?
Yeah, hi.
Blessings to you guys. Good to have you. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what time you joined, but tonight's topic is about three P's. Okay.
And
I'm just reflecting quickly. So it's prayer, praise, and prepare. So at this moment we're in praise, but we are now moving on to prepare. Now prepare could be maybe a slightly difficult one to actually unravel or come to terms with, but bear with me. In Psalm 46, verse 1 and 2, and again, if you can find a text in relationship to prepare, it'll be most welcome, so we can all share that. So Psalms 46, verse 1 and 2 says, God is my refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. And in fact, if you look at Psalms 46, it's saying in that whole psalm, I'm just reading 1 and 2, it says, he is confident. He's confident because God is with him. And not because God is with him, he can pray, he can praise, he can prepare, he can face any battles. I can face any battles because God is with me. And because God is with me, I'm strengthened. I'm strengthened by his word, and I'm confident in his word. And that is where we should be. So my preparation, because I've prayed, because I can praise him, yes, I cannot prepare. I cannot prepare for almost anything that I'm going to face because God is with me. Has anybody got a text on prepare? It might be a little bit difficult, but I thought I'd just explain that one in that situation.
The text I have says...
Go ahead,
Hope. It says, I'm looking at Ephesians 6:11 to... going down to the end almost, yeah. But it's the one I want to read is, put on the whole armor of God so that he may be able to stand. In preparing, one has to make sure the armor of God is what they are putting on.
Yes.
So in preparing, you go to God and you put on the armor. So you need the to stand firm against the wiles of the devil, and you need all the bits and pieces that goes along with that, you know, to make it there. So you need a belt, you need the shield, you need the all of that.
Yes, yes.
And you need your foot shod with a piece as well, because even though it's an armor, a lot of time people hear about armor is war.
Yeah.
But this is an armor that protects you,
yeah,
but you're also going on a peace mission.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you look at this, the UN peacekeeping force, they go in there, most of the time they don't go for war, you know. They might be prepared for war, but they have gone in to help.
Yeah.
And if we look at it as Christians, we have to put on the old armor. So when the devil attacks us, we are ready. But at the same time, the main bit of it is that our foot should be with the gospel of peace, encouraging people, you know, to live faithful. And the next one that comes after that is the shield of faith. And, those things, the helmet of salvation, knowing really why you're there, what you're doing. So that's that's a preparation for me.
Yeah, that is actually one of my favorite texts. And I think it's also one of my son's favorite texts because he used that in his baptism. Ephesians 6 from verse 10 to, I think, verse
19.
My dear sister Patrice Correct.
I was going to say, in relation to prepare, I'm thinking about it from a completely different angle.
Okay.
And for me, the commandments came to mind, in which we were asked to, in Exodus 20, where it asks us to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Mm-hmm.
6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work.
Yeah.
So in order to keep, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter nor thy manservant nor thy maidservant, etc. So in order to respect the seventh day Sabbath and keep it holy, we need to get our work finished by day six. Mm-hmm. So in that respect, I was looking at preparation.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Because the Friday is called the preparation day. So that's a good one,
Sister. Could I look at, as you said it, for some reason, I just went to Psalm 23.
Okay,
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Yeah.
And usually you're not in want if you have prepared something in advance.
Yeah.
But there's also verse 5, which says, thou preparedest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And so preparation for me is God taking care of my wants and my needs and ensuring that even when I'm in the presence of those who would do evil to me, I am taken care of.
Can you just excuse me a second, I'm being look, the sun is shining so much in Harlow that I'm going to get a tan in a minute.
we got to come
excuse me a second. I just want to tip myself a little bit so that I don't get sunburned. Okay. Okay, so it looks like prepare actually, a lot came out of that from different angles.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. Now, there are three characters in the Bible that God prepared, and I'm going to quickly go through them for you. So God had prepared Daniel, Gideon, and Paul.
Yeah.
And so what am I saying here? So if you look at Daniel, Daniel's situation, that his preparation, that he prayed three times a day to have that connection with God, so that he can move forward, because Daniel was the only person, that walked so close to God so that he could actually understand the future and also understand the kingdom and understand kingdoms and the preparation, what was needed in the future. So Daniel's situation was that he prayed three times a day to keep that connection with God. Mm-hmm. Now Gideon, God also prepared him in a different way. He had an army of 32,000, but guess what? Mm-hmm. He had 32,000. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said to him, listen, that army is too big. Mm-hmm. You have to cut that army down to gain the victory. And the last one I'm going to quickly just highlight, it was Paul. God prepared Paul, because Paul, in his younger days, what he did was, he was obsessed with the law. He got upset to study with the law to protect his religion, to protect his people. But guess what? God used Paul to study God's law, so that he can save not just Jews, but Jews and Gentiles. So God prepared Paul to preach and to spread the gospel. I mean, such is the situation that Paul has left such a great legacy in the New Testament. I don't think there's ever been a preacher like Paul. He has left a legacy. I'm just going to pause here, just to reflect on those three characteristics. I'm just going to ask Pat, if you can do that reading for me, please. Now, listen carefully to the reading, because it has some bearing on the connection of where we are today in a modern time, even though this information was given some years ago. So please listen.
Okay, I'm going to be reading from The Adventist Home, written by Ellen G. White, and it's chapter 55, which is on moral standards. But the subtopic is the history to be repeated. Near the close of this earth's history, Satan will work with all his powers in the same manner and with the same temptations wherewith he tempted ancient Israel just before their entering the land of promise. He will lay snares for those who claim to keep the commandments of God and who are almost on the borders of the heavenly Canaan. He will use his powers to the utmost in order to entrap souls and to take God's professed people upon their weakest points. To those who have not brought the lower passions into subjection to the higher powers of their being, those who have allowed their minds to flow into a channel of carnal indulgence of the baser passions, Satan is determined to destroy with his temptations, to pollute their souls with licentiousness. He is not aiming especially at the lower and less important marks, but he makes use of his snares through those whom he can enlist as his agents to allure or attract men to take liberties which are condemned in the law of God. And men in responsible positions, teaching the claims of God's law, whose mouths are filled with arguments in vindication of his law, against which Satan has made such a raid. Over such, he sets his hellish powers and his agencies at work and overthrows them upon the weak points in their character, knowing that he who offends on one point is guilty of all, thus obtaining complete mastery over the entire man. Mind, soul, body, and conscience are involved in the ruin.
Thank you very much. Now, I think, I know there's been quite a lot there in that reading, but if you have the book, go through it again, and it's speaking basically that history will repeat itself, and we have to continue to pray, to praise, to prepare.
And that was page 327, sorry.
Yeah, there's a lot in there. So bear in mind what I was speaking about in terms of these three units. Now, I want to suggest to you that this evening that these three P's are essential. How can I say? They're a season in a melting pot to feed us, to nourish us as we journey on this earth, because they're going to be troubles, they're going to be trials, they're going to be fears and all sorts of things as we travel on this earth. And they'd also say that, well, that's in the olden time, but listen, history will repeat itself. So we have to pray, prepare to build ourselves up. And this is part of our preparation. Now this week, our elder, Elder Nicole sent us a reminder of how God's hand was preparing Gideon to fight the battle. She reminded us that Gideon had to strip. He had to strip down his army from 32,000 to a mere skeleton. Now Gideon didn't have 5,000 or 10,000. He had 32,000. And I want you to do the maths. Here what happened. He had to strip it down to 32,000, yeah? Even when he went down to a certain figure, God said it's too much. Now this may sound crazy, but from 32,000 to 300 men, I did a quick calculation, and those of you who are mathematicians might be able to put me right, but I think that's roughly about 100% cut. That's 100% cut from 32,000.
Yeah.
It may even be just over 100% cut. Now that seems crazy. It's as if that was an impossible task to do. But that's what God was asking Gideon to do. He was preparing him for battle, but not just a battle. But he was saying that, listen, the men you have with you is not enough. It's too much. Because I'm with you. So he was preparing Gideon. Now, when you look at the chapter Judges 6 onward, have you got your Bibles? Just turn to chapter 7 and verse 12. Bear in mind that Gideon had 300 men. Now, if you have it, please read it, because I'm just quickly find it. Judges chapter
which book?
Judges chapter 6.
Right.
Yeah, but look at Judges chapter 7.
You just said chapter 7.
Yeah. Judges chapter 6, the message starts, the actual journey starts. But look at Judges chapter 7 and verse 12. Bear in mind, Gideon had 300 men. The Lord is preparing him. Now, in Judges chapter 7, verse 12. Have you got it? Shall I read it?
Do you want me to read it?
Judges chapter 7, verse 12.
Yeah, go on.
Okay. Gideon had 300 men, and the Lord says, this is what you have to take to fight these people. Now listen, it says, and the Amalekites and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east along the valley were like grasshoppers, for a multitude of their camels were without number. In other words, they were numberless. Numberless as the sands of the sea was the multitude. Gideon had 300 men. And the Lord was preparing him for battle with a number that he could not count. It was innumerable. You couldn't count it. He said it was like the sand of the sea. And this is what was happening. In this scenario, Satan was using fear so that Gideon will turn back. But Gideon wasn't fearful because the Lord was preparing him. If you read from chapter 6 onward, you see that the Lord was preparing Gideon every time as he was going forward. Because Gideon began to pray and praise God, in so much so that when Gideon saw the multitude and he was told the dream, before he actually fought the battle, he was already praising God for the battle. Because you know that God was with him, because God said he will be with him. So he prepared, he praised, and he was victorious. So we too,
man,
can be like Gideon. We too may have little faith. We may have certain things that overwhelm us, and our faith starts in. But do not fear, because fear would paralyze you. That's what fear does. Fear paralyzes you and keeps you in a corner. But be like Gideon. With just 300 men, you can move forward. They'd also say, oh, that's in the past. The world have changed.
No.
Yes, the world have changed. But guess what? Satan hasn't changed. He would actually adjust to any situation.
And God hasn't changed either.
And God hasn't changed. Thank you, Sister Elizabeth. God hasn't changed. You know, Satan will adjust for any situation. And I want you to know, saints of God, friends, that Satan is after you. He's after me. He's after your household. He's after every person. That's what he's after. And you know why? Because the battle is a battle of the mind. Is a battle of the mind. When you are praying, when you are praising, and your mind is filled with God with you, when you show up, God shows up with you. So prepare and praise, and you'll gain the victory. Gideon wasn't fearful. He kept the promise, and he went forward. Our battles are not won by how we think it should won. The battle is won in the mind. The battle is won by praying, by praising, by giving thanks for your victories, and also by preparing day by day. So be equipped. Pray to strip off those dead weights that keeps you from moving forward. And praise that acknowledgement that God's power is within you. In I think it was in Second Timothy 1:7, telling us that God has not given us a fearful spirit. He has not. Not only that, he's given us one of the most powerful things also that human beings have within themselves. And that powerful thing is love. You know, love is an amazing thing. It's also a beautiful thing, and it's a powerful thing. And all that's in preparation in how we're moving forward.
Elder, can I just say something?
Yes,
the Bible actually says,
sorry.
Perfect. The Bible says, perfect love casteth out fear. And if we have God's love, then we have nothing to fear.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Angie. Thank you, Sister Angie. Thank you for that. And because we can pray, we can praise, and we prepare, we can prepare to fight any battles because God is with us. Knowing that God is with us, we can move forward. I'm not saying that there ain't going to be problems because we live in a world of problems. Well, it's around us. Everywhere you go, there's problems. But do not be fearful. Remember the peace. Pray. Praise. Praise for little victories and you gain big victories. Become perfect in preparation by staying close to God, by keeping in step with him, with his words, and doing whatever he asks us to do. I'm telling you something, that Satan does not want any of us to move forward. Now, Jesus Christ, have actually fought many battles for us. He has fought the battle and he has won because he conquered death. And we too, if we pray, we praise and we prepare, we too will conquer one of man's most fearful enemies, and that's death, because we would have the chance to live eternally. So continue to pray, continue to praise, prepare. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, bro.
Amen.
Okay, I'm not quite sure what normally happens, but I'm just going to ask two persons to pray for all of us here, to pray for our church, and to help us also to prepare for the days ahead. Because we do not know what's around the corner, but one thing we do know, if we continue to live close to God and live with him, even when we find that we are in a difficult situation, we know that he's going to be there with us. So after about two prayers, I will close in prayer.
Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we are grateful for your words that we have heard tonight. We thank you, dear Lord, that we are able to praise you, even when we don't see the victory, but because we know you, we can praise you because you have never given us anything bad.
Amen.
And you've always given us the best things. So we can praise you while we wait. And Lord, we thank you that we can talk to you anytime about anything. We don't have to make it long. We don't have to go into big words. We can just talk to you, have a conversation with you, and listen to you as you talk to us.
And
Lord, we thank you that you have invited us to be prepared and that you have shown us what can happen when we prepare. But also you have prepared a way for us and you'd like us to walk in it. So Lord, incline our hearts unto you and help us to follow you all the way so that we can talk with you and we can praise you and we can reap the benefits of your preparation and of our own preparation. Father, I present those of us who are here and the households that are represented here. I ask you to be very close to us and I ask you to open our hearts so that we will yield all to you and recommit our lives to you. Lord, I ask that you'll wash us clean and make us wholly thine. Father, I ask that those who are in mourning, that you'll comfort. Those who are going through trials and troubles, I ask you, Lord, to help them to look up and remember that you can do all things and that all we have to do is to cast all our cares upon you. Mm-hmm. Lord, those who are unwell, we ask that you'll heal them. And if that is not what is supposed to happen, Lord, I ask that you'll give them the strength to endure whatever it is that they're going through. Father, I ask that we will continue to be our brother's keepers. Mm-hmm. Help us to pray for one another and to make contact with one another and reach out to one another so that we know that we are not alone and that we are that we are being thought of. Lord, I ask that those who are not here that you'll be with them in their homes, if they're on the road traveling, give them journeying mercies. If they're at work, I ask the Lord that you'll allow them to be alert and they'll be able to do whatever their job is to the best of their ability. Lord, I ask that you'll be with our country as a whole, as we have eased up on the pandemic restrictions. I ask you to help us to be smart and mindful that although the easing is there, COVID is still around and we need to be smart. Father, thank you that we have been spared to see this time. And I ask that we will be beacons so that others will be drawn closer to you. Lord, help our lives to be a testimony. I ask that you'll be with our worldwide church. And Lord, I ask that you'll be with those who have come into contact with natural disasters. In a very special way, Lord, I ask that you'll be with the people of India as they are going through a very rough time. I ask that you be with people in the Caribbean because of the volcano, because of all the evil that is taking place in this world, Lord. I just ask that those of us who can reach out to others to offer them comfort and consolation and a better way of life through you, that we will be able to do so. Thank you for your word this evening, dear Jesus. And may we hold dear to the three P's. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mighty Father, we just want to thank you again for this day. We just want to ask you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit covering over all of us, every one of us who call upon your name, whether we are Seventh-day Adventists or we are from some other denomination, but we are calling sincerely upon your name, Lord. I ask for your covering. Lord, you see those who are still yet out there and they haven't realized yet, but you know them and you know you're going to bring them according to your word. Mm-hmm. They will come. And so we ask you as well, Lord, to cover them. Lord, you see what the devil is looking to do. Every time somebody makes an error or sin, he tries to destroy them before they get conscious enough to realize that they can come to you and get forgiven. So Lord, even with us, he tries to battle us the same way. So I ask, Lord, that you'll cover everyone at Stokey, whether they are baptized members or they're just visiting us. They have, once they have come to Stokey before, cover them, Lord, and help that this pandemic will awaken us to realize the love that we need to have for each other, the love that we need to have for you so that we can love each other. Lord, we pray for whatever needs to be done. You see the church, the building, oh, it's falling to bits, but we also have a plan to build another one at the back. But Lord, we know that you are the God of everything. You said the cattle on a thousand hills is yours. So Lord, at this time, we call on you for both support in terms of manpower and people understanding what needs to be done, and also, Lord, finances to get this done. We don't know how long we're going to be here, but you said we should occupy until you come. So we are just asking, Lord, you have given the go-ahead for a building, a plan, so that we can build on. So we want to ask you, Lord, to do this. Not just that we'll have a pretty building, but we'll use the building to help others. We'll use a building to run some evening clubs that people who are working late can leave their children and come to a place where they are trusted to collect their children. Lord, we want to ask you that you'll allow the children department to be able to use it. You'll allow us to use it for other things. Lord, outside of that, we want to present the speaker before you and his entire family. You know, Lord, that when people are setting their ways to present you as the way to go, the devil is not going to ease up. That's the time you apply the pressure. So we just ask the Lord to take the careers and all their extension in charge, Lord, and take care of them. Lord, everyone in the hearing of my voice and on this platform, and those who wanted to come and didn't get to come, and even our children who we haven't seen in the building of church for the longest while coming into the sanctuary. But Lord, we know they are still connected. We know you have connected to them. And so, Lord, we just want to ask you to keep them steady, keep them focused on you. They might not be coming into the building, which we would love to see, but Lord, we know that you still have control over them. So we ask the Lord to take them in charge, to cover them, to provide for them, to protect them, to help them to walk in the circumspect. You know, sometimes we say our children are not coming to church, but if you hear them, when they stand in the corner where they're not thinking that you're there and hear them speak, you can see that the message, your message has gotten to them. It's just time. for them to experience and come to know you for themselves. So we ask, Lord, that you'll allow that time to be there. Lord, the rest of us, we ask that you'll cover us. You protect us from the cold hands of death. You keep away evil from our families and from what we do. Those of us who are still working into the evening late in the night, we just ask you, Lord, to be with us. Those who have completed their work for the day and is going to relax and rest, we ask you to cover them as well. But Lord, more so, we ask that all of us will open our hearts and accept you and draw closer to you in prayer so that we will be able to get to know what you want us to do. Lord, we might have all our plans, but you are the architect of life. So we ask, Lord, that we'll submit our plans to you and allow you to pass the ones that are to be passed and the ones that aren't to be passed, that when you reject them, we will understand and know that you have a better plan for us. Lord, forgive us again of our sins. Protect every family going here and even those who wanted to come and couldn't make it and even those who just thought I couldn't bother this evening. Reach out to them, Lord. We have a lot of people who are going through difficult moments. They are anxious. They are alone. They are ill. They are struggling. Remember Brother Mason, and he's on dialysis. We ask, Lord, that you'll cover him, that you'll draw him closer to you, and that even at this point, you'll allow him to look up and realize that you have kept him this long. You're still there with him. And those of us who might have aches and pains and we don't know really what is causing it, we ask, Lord, that you will be the healer and you'll not allow evil to take control. Lord, bless us now, we pray. Forgive us of all our sins and stand in the gap for us as we follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen.